We are in the middle of a series we started last week called Here We Grow. And really, it's a play on words because many of us, as we're about to start things, we say, here we go, let's go. And really, what we're saying is that here we grow. Healthy things grow, everything in nature, every human being, anything that is healthy and a living organism, it will grow. And so what we're doing is that we're coming together and we're saying, Lord, you have designed your church and your children to grow in their spiritual capacity. And so we're not going to sit put, we're not going to sit pat, we're not going to sit back. We're going to believe that you have something for us. And we know that if we're not dead, you're not done. And so God, since you're working in us and you desire us to grow, we want to find those things that in our lives need to grow and need to change. And we want to be stretched and pulled and encouraged so that we might become the men and women of God that you've designed us to be. And so in these series, in these messages, we're going to the scriptures and finding those places to where we're to grow spiritually. And then during the week, we're really trying to apply those areas to our lives. We're taking the notes and we're saying, you know what, Lord, here's the area that we're focused on this week, and I want you to grow me in this particular area. And so this week, it's what I want to encourage you guys to do. As we go to Galatians chapter 6, I'm going to read the passage and then we will dive in together. Galatians chapter 6, verse 1 says this, Brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. But keep watch over yourself, lest you too be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one test his own work, and then his reason to boast in himself alone and not in his neighbor. For each will have to bear his own load. Let the one who is taught the word share good things with those who teach. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, that which he will also reap. For the one who sows in his own flesh will reap the flesh will reap corruption. But the one who sows in the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. And let us not get weary of doing good. For in due season we will reap if we do not give up. So then as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are in the household of faith. The first thing I want to encourage you with today is you grow what you sow. You grow what you sow. If many of us can look in our relationship lives and we can realize that as that relationship has been going, a lot of times we look back and just say, man, what have I sown into that friendship? What have I sown into that relationship? What have I sown into this thing to make it become what it's become? Healthy things grow. Am I sowing in a positive energy? Am I sowing in positive vibes? Am I sowing in the gospel itself? Am I sowing in the music and the entertainment and everything that I'm putting into this relationship, my family, my children? What am I sowing in? And because healthy things grow, and what you sow will grow. So what you grow will sow. Sowing is an agricultural term. It basically means to plant. It basically means to take a seed and put it into the ground. And when you do that, then you nourish that seed. And so this work, this effort that you're putting in on the front end, it allows the life to spring. It allows the growth. Many of us in a lot of facets of life, we're not content to do the hard work of sowing into the ground. Do you realize that when you sow into the ground, there's no immediate results? There's no instant satisfaction? I grew up in the projects, and my mom was a single mom, and she was working jobs, and she was going to school in the evenings and stuff. And you know what? I had to learn really quickly. When I got hungry, and I was about 7 or 8 years old, there wasn't going to be any home-cooked meal stewed over the stove for 3 or 4 hours. I learned an important word in my life. It was called microwave. And so I had to learn that if I wanted some food, I wanted a hot dog, I had to go and boop, 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 and I microwave the food. Now, later I realized that you probably shouldn't eat just microwave food all the time. But at the time, it helped me to get fed. But here's what happened. As I got older, I started to realize and learn about food and learn that it takes time. And even more, once I started to understand people that have gardens and stuff, like they literally, like when I think I'm hungry, Christy will tell you, when I'm hungry, I'm hangry. You know what I mean? Like, I'm H-A-N-G. Like I'm hangry. By the time that I tell you, if you hear Tali says he's hungry, it means like a burger needs to be in my mouth in 32 seconds or I'm about to lose it, right? So, like, in that moment, I just need it. I got to be fed now. And so here's the thing. When people tell me that, like, they get relaxed, like, cooking relaxes them, I'm like, no, it doesn't, actually. It just makes me more hungry and angry. So no, it doesn't. And if people tell me, like, oh, gardening, that's another one for me, because I grew up in the city and the concrete jungle, and I didn't have any garden, you know? And so now I live in an area where there's grass, and in that situation, I look and people say, well, gardening relaxes me. And I say, gardening looks like a lot of work to me. There's no relaxing to me in all of that. But here's the thing. Sowing is not instant. It's not microwavable. Sowing seed means that there is work to follow. Sowing means that you put the seed into the ground. You do that hard work, and you can't step back and say, it's done. What you have to do is continue to water, and you have to continue to nourish, and you have to keep away the animals and the bugs and everything that might tear down the crop. You have to do work to protect what you have sown. Many of us in life, we're not used to sowing things, and so as a result, when things aren't working out, we feel like a pinball in a pinball machine. We feel like life is happening to us instead of us happening to life. And so when we say that you grow what you sow, we have to realize that, man, a lot of things that are happening are not spontaneous, combustible results. A lot of things are happening because we've sown them to happen. We've invested the right way, or we haven't invested very well. We've loved the right way, or we haven't loved very well. And while there are some things in life that come to us out of left field, and for those things, we go to the Lord and we ask the Lord to give us guidance and wisdom. And there are many more things that you and I deal with every day that the reality is, it is a concept of consistent behavior that has gotten that result. It's a process of sowing. And so whether or not you are sowing good and health and blessing, or whether or not you're sowing curses and selfishness and the seed of envy and bitterness, you're sowing into life. You and I are every single day. When we leave here, our choices that we make over the next meal and the next meal and the next meal and the next meal, guess what? Healthy things grow. And like we will sow into our lives one way or the other. So you grow what you sow. The question is not, will I be sowing? The question is, what will I be sowing? And the scripture goes through, and really this passage really just hits on different types of things you want to sow. So if you're checking out the church for the first time, this is a good message to land on, because there's like four or five things we'll hit, and the scripture allows us to focus in on any which one you want. So you're going to get a couple of different angles today. Brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in the spirit of gentleness. Now, this is talking about somebody that's entangled in a sin, right? And so the church has a history of unfortunately, some places, some pockets of the church have a history of when a brother is caught in sin or a sister is caught in sin. Sometimes that's the worst place you want to be as a Christ follower, is when you're trapped in some kind of a sin, because you look back and you say, man, I wish there would be Christ people with me. I wish people would stand with me and help me and nourish me. But a lot of times people just kind of use that as an opportunity to distance themselves, to gossip, and to put people down and try to hurt them in the middle of their own civil war, their own battle they've got on in their soul. Romans chapter 7 says that even Paul, the one that wrote 2/3 of the New Testament, he goes, there are things that I know that I'm ought to do, but I don't do them. And then there are things that I do that I know I shouldn't do. And this battle wages in. And so the scripture's talking about being entangled into a sin in your life. How do we handle that? How do we sow into friendships? Look what it says. It says, if anyone is caught in a transgression, you who are spiritual should what? Restore. Can you all say restore? Restore. But what is the attitude by which we restore people? It says we restore them in a spirit of gentleness. Gentleness. It just hasn't been the history many times of a lot of pockets of Christianity. Bear one another's burdens, it says, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Those of you that are great Bible scholars, you understand that the law of Christ is kind of a weird term, because Jesus didn't come to contribute to the law. He came to fulfill the law and thereby give everyone grace. And that's exactly the point. is that when we bear one another's burdens, those who are caught in sin, when we bear the burden with them, we are no longer pointing our fingers. We're no longer putting them down. We're no longer creating distance. What we're doing is saying, I'm going to help carry you through this in the spirit of restoration and a spirit of grace. And by me doing that, I'm exhibiting the law of Christ. What is the law of Christ? Grace. And so I walk in grace when I help another brother or a sister come back into the fold of God's blessing. Restore them with gentleness. So this first one speaks to friendship, relationship. Sow blessing into your friend's burdens. Sow blessings into your friend's burdens. If you want to fulfill the law of Christ, if you want to live as a Christ follower, what do you do when you see a brother or sister struggling with a sin? You sow blessing into their life. You look at them and say, Lord, how can we help restore this person? Lord, how can your grace be made famous in this? Lord, how can we come along? Not as some do. The Pharisees and even Christians that kind of want to put others down in order to lift themselves up. The scripture is the opposite. The scripture says, no, humble yourself and lift them up. Restore them with gentleness. In chapter 5, it was all about, Galatians chapter 5 was all about freedom in Christ. You could read the whole chapter. And then he slides into chapter 6 and he helps you to live that out. Living that out means that even in your freedom in Christ, when someone has lost their freedom in Christ, you restore them gently. It's easy to be a friend until your friend is carrying a burden. It's easy to be a friend until your friend is carrying a burden. You know how this has played out in real life? And I'm guilty of this myself. Oh, moving day. Yeah, y'all know. Y'all know how this works. Like, it's they're like, oh, yeah, I'm so happy for you. Just got a new place, man. That's awesome. That's great. I got a U-Haul to be here at 9 a.m. Oh, bro. I'd love to. But you see, my great-great-great-great-great-aunts, uncles, sisters, neighbors, cousin just had a rabbit die. I promised I'd go to that funeral. Right? Like we come up like, because listen, it's easy to be a friend until the friend's carrying a burden. And that's another reason, just as a little side note for you. That's why you don't buy pickup trucks. That's free. Listen, temptation, sin, when you notice a friend is broken down, when you notice a friend that is hurting, temptation, sin, and transgressions are all an effort to find peace, joy, and happiness in something or someone other than Jesus. So when you look on a person who's caught in a sin, when you look at a person who's struggling with a transgression, the Christian's response in Christ, the freedom in Christ, the reason that we should look at them, the way we should look at them, is to understand that they are simply, somewhere along the way, they believe the devil's lie that they could find peace, joy, and happiness apart from Jesus. And it's not my job to yell at them and beat at them on that issue. Now, you might a little bit if you're a good friend, like, come on, knucklehead. But the restoration needs to be, I'm going to stand with you. And I'm going to walk with you. And I'm going to show you that true freedom is found in Christ. It's not found in that sin. It's not found in that transgression. It's not found in... And the way I look at you is I understand how you got there. Why? Because I am a sinner saved by grace. I'm a sinner too, just like you. My sin didn't become public this week. My struggle didn't make it to the news. But I know what sin is. And I know that I missed the mark. And I'm ready to walk with you to get back to restoration in Jesus. I have a great mentor in my life. Is very, very good friends with a national football coach that just recently it came out that this person did some inappropriate things. And I texted my mentor. And my mentor has publicly put this person up as the epitome of what a godly coach should be. And my mentor believed in him and loved in him and walked with him all through life. And they're really tight friends and they Bible studies in front of this football team and everything. And this week, national news. And so I just texted my mentor and I said, I love you. And I'm standing with you as you stand with your friend. because I know the world is going to want to look and throw egg at the name of Jesus and throw egg on my mentor. And my mentor wrote back and just said, thank you, I love you. This is time for grace. And so right now, even in this week, it's, you know what, we're going to stand with his family. And the devil's not going to continue to get a foothold here. And sometimes the exposure is the best medicine, because light is the best disinfectant. And so why do we as a church sometimes go and crucify the person that's trapped in a sin? The one that has been crucified for that sin is Jesus. We don't need to keep crucifying people. What we need to do is to restore them back to Jesus. Amen? And the scripture goes on, for if anyone thinks he is something, this is why I love this. I love this. In my smack talk when I was a teenager, this is kind of how I used to speak. You think you something? So for anyone who thinks he is something when he is nothing, he has deceived himself. But let each one test his own work. And then for this reason to boast in himself alone and not at his neighbor, for each will have his own bear to load. What he's speaking here is about the person that he's doing the opposite of what we were told by Scripture. What we're told by Scripture is restore the person gently. The opposite is destroy them with as much pain as possible. And so thereby, when I put you down, I lift me up. And so he's saying, no. That's not how the kingdom of God works. That's not how God's economy works. You don't look better in God's eyes because you beat up on other people. That's not how the kingdom of God works. The kingdom of God works is that you imitate Jesus, who being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, Philippians chapter 2, but considered himself nothing, devalued himself into a human, but not just a human, a servant. Not just a servant of the lowliest form, even unto death, but not just to death, death obedient to the cross. And so the scripture says, you know what? You should not be worried about making yourself look better by putting other people down. What you should be worried about is lifting other people up the way that Jesus did and the way that Jesus would. Then you're better in the kingdom of God. He says, listen, what you don't do is you let each one test his own work. Means look in your own life. When you look at your own life and you realize you don't have reason to boast. So he's saying, go ahead and boast in your own self. You think you're without sin? Go ahead and boast in that. But obviously you're not. And so we don't boast in that. If you're jotting notes today, write this down. Sow humility to reap happiness. Sow humility to reap happiness. Great men and women of God don't measure themselves up against other people. That's too low of a goal. Great spiritual giants measure themselves against Christ. And that's what keeps them humble. Spiritual giants never have to tell you that they are spiritual giants. Spiritual giants never have to tell you that they're spiritual giants. It's kind of like leadership. If you have to tell people you're in charge, you're not. You might have a title. They might pay you a little bit more. You might even have an office with a little deal on the door. That's cute. But the people in charge don't have to tell anybody that they're in charge. It's that law of E.F. Hutton. Those plus 40. You remember that commercial? When E.F. Hutton speaks, people listen. And so the scripture is like, listen, stop trying to bash everybody to make them lower than you. Instead, be gracious and restore people. Lift people up. And it's God who will lift you up. Let the one who is taught, verse 6, let the one who is taught the word share all good things with the one who teaches. Let the one who is taught the word share all good things with the one who teaches. Sow good into your teachers to reap good biblical teaching. Sow into your teacher to reap good biblical teaching. This is a passage I've only read one time, I think, in the history of this church. And the reason is I used to have a little, you know, it feels self-serving. But the reality is if it's not taught to you, you won't understand it. And the principle in the middle of this whole passage, talking about restoring people, talking about have a different perspective on how you view people and grace and judgment and all that stuff. And then he just slides over and he says, hey, and if you're getting taught the word of God well, share all good things with that person. Share all good things with that person. According to Lifeway Research, 250 pastors leave the ministry every single month. Same study, 84% of pastors say that they're on call 24 hours a day. 80% of pastors expect conflict to happen within their church. 54% of pastors find the role of pastor frequently overwhelming. Hebrews 10:24 says, "Let us consider how we might spur one another on to love and good deeds." The reality is you eat the fruit of the trees that you plant. So encourage and edify the people in your life who teach you the word, whether it's a mentor, a friend, a Sunday school teacher, or even a guest preacher that pops through. You will sow into what you eventually will reap. As a double bonus, your encouragement reminds the teacher that the word of God does not come back void. Listen, when you find somebody, whether it's a friend, Bible study leader, pastor, teacher, when you find somebody that's taught you a principle of God's word and you apply that and you see God's blessing on the other side, the full circle is to go back to that person and say, "Thank you for teaching me God's word." Why? Because great men and women who teach the word of God, they have given up feeling that their ministry was fruitless. They're feeling like they're defeated, feeling like they can't go on. But you have no idea. If you want good Bible teaching in your life, you've got to tell those people that they're doing a good job. You've got to tell those people that God is working in your life. And so in the middle of all this understanding, he says, "Hey, let the one who's taught the word share all good things with those who teach." And then in verse 7, it goes in, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, that will he also reap. For the one who sows into his flesh will reap from the flesh corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will reap from the Spirit eternal life." Sow in the spiritual secrecy. Sow in spiritual secrecy if you want spiritual victory. Sow in spiritual secrecy if you want spiritual victory. The question is, will you plant a seed when no one is watching? Will you water when no one else seems to be watering? Will you pull spiritual weeds that attempt to strangle out your seed? I could apply these things in all areas of your life, but think about your relationships, in whether it's friendships or whether it's family or whether it's your romantic interest. Will you plant a seed when no one is watching? Will you do the little things even though you're not going to get a pat on the back right away? Or do you only do that when everybody, all the lights are on? Will you water when no one else seems to be watering? You say, "Well, my girlfriends aren't doing that. My guys, my boys, my bros, they're not doing that." Who cares? Who cares? You water the seed right in front of your house. You water what you have. And you say, "Well, it looks greener on the other side of the fence." Listen, it's greener on the other side of the fence for two reasons. One, either they're doing the watering that you should be doing in your yard, or two, a sewer line broke. So you decide what you want to do with that. Plant your life in good ground. Nurture your own soil. Prune away what is not healthy. Do the right thing when no one is watching, and you'll be in the right position when everyone is watching. Do the right thing when nobody sees you, and you'll be in the right position when everyone sees you. Lastly, we go into verse 9 and 10. "Let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season..." Everyone say, "Due season." Due season. I mean, it's going to happen, but you got to be faithful. "Do not grow weary in doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. So then, as we have an opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially those who are according to the household of faith." Write this down. This is good today. So a get to instead of a got to in all that you do. So a get to instead of a got to in all that you do. The scripture says, "Let us not grow weary in doing good, for in due season we're going to reap. So then, as we have an opportunity, let us do good to everyone, especially those according to the faith." You see, we don't got to do these things. We get to love our neighbor. We get to tell the story of God by sharing our faith. We get to give of our time, our talents, and our treasure to help others in need. We get to sing a new song to our King. We get to. You go ahead and ask the one. You say, "Well, I don't want to help out somebody else or give up a buck or two." Well, listen, there are some people that are without a job or homeless. They would love to get to the point to where they could give away some money and help somebody else. You say, "Well, I don't want to stand during worship." There would be people who cannot stand that would love to get to stand and give honor to a King. You have to look at your life and say, "How much of my life am I sowing in got to mentality? I've got to go to work. I've got to take care of my children. I've got to love my neighbor. No, think about it. Put a new mindset. You wake up, Lord, thank you that I get to go to a place of employment that'll pay me a wage and I can take care of my family and people around me. Lord, thank you that I get to wake up into this house that I have to clean today and go and pick up after. Thank you that while I'm picking up after my children, I have children running through this place because I know there'll be a day when they're off on their own. Thank you that I get to enjoy this life, not that I got to endure it. You see, church, you have a choice in life. And that is a got-to mentality or a get-to. You're going to reap tomorrow whatever you sow today. Sow a get-to mentality and receive God's blessings on the other side. Today we dedicated children to the Lord. Those parents get to raise them and point them to Jesus. Today we're sending a mission team off to Kenya. That mission team gets to serve the Lord. In all that we do, do you have a get-to mentality or a got-to mentality? I pray that you would sow into your life today blessing and see every act of work, every act of sacrifice, every act of love as a get-to, not a got-to.